Welcome to the Faith Church Peshtigo podcast. You can connect with us online at faithpeshtigo.com. We're also on Facebook. Just search for Faith Church Peshtigo. Today's podcast features a conversation with Pastor Jay, Pastor Jeff, and Lauren Williams.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Faith Church podcast, episode 20. I'm your host, Jay Williams. With me, as per usual, Jeff Clossy. Hey, Jeff.
Hello, everybody.
How's it going today?
Hey, it is well. How are you?
With your soul? Who says that, Jeff? You're so pastoral.
You said that.
Well, you said it as well.
Oh, okay. Yes, I did. But okay. I am well. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I can't say today's been kind of a hectic day, but by and large, it's been a good day. And it's raining outside, though. That's no fun.
It is raining, and I feel like I was just having this conversation with you, like we were just recording Tuesdays. The days are going quickly.
Yeah, this is three podcasts in a row now where you and I have been in charge of this and having conversations together, and that is more conversation than I had hoped to have with you when we hired you.
None taken.
None what? Oh.
You can read between the lines, Jay. I'm so excited for our guest today because your behavior is going to be so much better today.
Yeah, because you don't know the dynamics of our marriage. Yeah, I will not talk about how you have not ridden your bike in and how you're all Mr. Outdoorsy, but then when it rains, all of a sudden or the threat of rain. I want to point that out, that Jeff is like Mr. Bike Man, but you on Tuesday, I assumed I rode my bike into work, and I assumed that you would have also.
Yes.
But you did not. Why did you not?
Severe thunderstorm potential.
Potential.
Yes.
Were there any thunderstorms on that day?
There were not.
Were there any rain at all on that day?
There wasn't. It was a beautiful day.
It was. So the threat of rain hours away, the threat of a chance of rain hours away keeps you from riding your bike. That kind of hurts your cred.
Well, fast forward to Wednesday, same forecast, and there's still, again, one bike here. But whose bike was here?
Well, yeah, but I had to drive from Green Bay.
Well, so a little distance, Jay, and you just can't ride. Come on.
That's true, but I've never claimed to be outdoorsy. Nobody has ever accused me of that, so.
Okay, our guest again
our guest. Okay.
Thank you.
For our 20th episode, this is our 20th anniversary.
That's a very special moment.
Epiversary. It's our 20th epiversary. And for our special 20th epiversary, we have a very special guest. And this guest is my wife, Lauren Williams. Hi, Lauren.
Hi. How did I get so lucky to be?
To marry me? I don't know. That would take an entire podcast or more. But that's not the topic of this podcast at all.
No, it's not.
Really?
Well, I mean, it can be.
Okay.
Lauren's so excited right now. This is like right in her wheelhouse. So Lauren is going to be joining us. Jeff, I don't know if you want to lead out. I feel like you should probably lead out and I can just sit here and gaze at her.
Right. That's what we all know will happen, Jay. You will just be quiet in the background and I'll just be gabbing away like usual. Lauren, it's so awesome to have you here. I'm sorry you had to experience the beginning of this podcast.
Oh, it's all right. I'm starting to notice that adds the minutes, right? I don't know.
Sorry. Are you saying that I'm drawing it out?
No, like, I don't
I'm
know.
I'm a filler?
No, maybe you just were nervous about
I'm so nervous. You
actually
always make
bringing
me, nervous.
Me in here.
You make me nervous.
He does seem nervous, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I don't know.
My heart's
nervous.
All flutter.
I would love to ask Lauren a question.
I wish you would. You'd save the whole audience just this awkwardness with me awkwardly flirting with my wife.
Lauren, I was wondering, maybe just to start with, I know many people at Faith Church will know you and know you well, but there will be a lot listening that don't know you very well. So could you start just giving us a little bit of your background and how long have you been at Faith Church? Like, I know some people are from Iowa, but thankfully you are not. And so I'd love for other people to know, like, those kinds of details about you.
Sure. I mean, I don't know how far back you want to go.
So where are you from?
Feels like. I would claim I'm from Minnesota. I moved around a lot as a kid because I was a corporate brat and my dad would get transferred. So we lived in a lot of different states, but kind of made a loop and started in Minnesota and then ended there too before I went away to college and began my grown-up life.
And where was college?
I went to Cornell College, which is in Mount Vernon, Iowa, and its claim to fame is that it's the one of the very few one course at a time schools in the country. And so you actually take one class for 3.5 weeks, take a final, have a 5-day weekend, and then start a new one. And so the year's basically like a year full of J terms. So
wow. Yeah,
it was interesting.
That is super unique.
It is. They're very proud of it.
It's very intense.
It is intense.
Yeah, one course at a time.
Yep.
But that's a quick time frame too.
Well, it's you end up doing the same. Oh, 3.5 weeks for the semester's course. Yeah.
So like calculus in 3.5 weeks.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. As a history major, I was reading over 100 pages a day in, you know, very I don't know, serious nonfiction history books. So.
And as a classic procrastinator, during that same time, I was reading 0 pages a day.
Yeah.
So. Jay, you're doing such a good job at just sitting quietly.
I know.
I just wanted to congratulate you on that.
Yeah. Thanks. Back in college, Jay would just wander the halls on finals nights or when people were having to write their final paper, and he would just wander the halls and visit with people until they all one by one went to bed, and then he would finally start studying or writing papers or doing major senior projects. So
is that where you guys met?
Yes.
Fun fact, that is actually what led to me asking her out for the first time.
That's true.
Was me wandering the halls for a finals night. So
he wore me down.
If I didn't do that, if she wasn't so pressured to get back to studying and didn't feel that pressure, she may not have said yes to me to go on a date. But she did, and here we are now, 20 years later.
Yes.
Almost 21 years later.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Okay, so yes, we met in college. I am the oldest of 5 kids. I found Jesus, or Jesus found me, really late high school, early college, when I really started walking with him, and never would have dreamed that I would be in full-time ministry, but here we go. Here we are.
So that was late high school when you would have said you like across the line of faith, I'm trusting Jesus.
Yeah, like that I actually heard like a gospel message and realized that it wasn't about praying a prayer before a test or if I lost something precious. I think, you know, I was raised with the idea of just, you know, whatever you believe, as long as it's sincere, then it's true. And so it was very eye-opening to me to just realize that here there was a God who came and rescued us. And I kind of heard that message, and then it was really in college when it really, like, I actually started learning what it meant to actually walk with Jesus, I would say, and kind of live a life surrendered.
Yeah. The college you guys went to wasn't Christian, was it?
Oh, no.
No.
So,
and that would not have been on my radar at the time of choosing a college. So, I mean, I think it's pretty amazing that, I don't know, I can think of so many times in my life where I just marvel of like, oh, wow, how did God choose me? And yet he does it. And he, in the unlikeliest of situations or circumstances, can reveal himself to us.
So you went off to college and he had plans for you there, you know, like do you find people that helped you then when you got there?
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess it was interesting. You could count the number of people who would even say they were Christians, probably on just a few hands on the college campus. But I got connected to an on-campus ministry, which actually Jay was one of the founding members of, and a number of those people would go to church on Sunday morning at a nearby church, and I went along. And the first Sunday, the pastor was preaching a message, and I felt like it just struck me. It was for me. And I wouldn't have normally done this, but I went up to him afterward and I said, you know, that message was for me. I think it was exactly what I needed to hear. And he said, well, praise God, that was the Holy Spirit. And that was the first time I'd really even, I don't know, had that concept of it, of just that he would speak to our hearts and reveal things to us and know us so inside and out. And so I think that was like a real turning point for me in just thinking like, I want more of that. And and this clearly is something that is everything. So yeah. And then Jay and I met during that time and we're friends, and then eventually we got married and have moved a few different places and done ministry and lived in an RV. And then by happenstance or serendipity came here on one of our big RV trips and felt like, oh, we have been on the road for a while and we were really hungry for just fellowship with other people. And so we thought, well, we should go to church somewhere. And we came here and the people loved us just so well. And it was just a really monumental healing. Like we had gone through a real season of loss and hurt. And this little landing spot here at Faith for that time, that month while we were here visiting, was just, it really ministered to us and helped us heal in a lot of ways. And so we left here just feeling like there was a piece of our heart here and had no idea that we would actually move here. But shortly after that, Pastor Dave was retiring and people, especially Donna and Archer, told us that Jay should apply. He looks like he wants to jump in and say something.
Well,
Jay, I gave you permission to talk.
Well, no, this is all great. It's interesting because Lauren doesn't usually get to tell this story. It's usually the story that I'm telling in a message or something like that, or to other people.
True. Yeah. Anyway, it just really felt like God made so many signs very clear that this was where we were supposed to come. Like, I mean, it was scary, but we just had so many confirmations. So we are coming up on almost 5 years of living here. That feels crazy. The time has gone really fast, I think.
Let's go back. Jeff, there are things that people probably don't know, because most of the people around here know all that, but they don't
Fair
know
enough.
The just ministry heart that that Lauren has. So one of the things I'm curious about, we're in a situation right now where we're asking people to gather in homes because we're not gathering centrally here, because we're trying to give people a taste or give them real community that's going to be helpful to them. And so we kind of made the decision that most of what people need is best met right now in homes, rather than being in a space where they're spread out and socially distant and masks and all that stuff. So I'm curious, Lauren, if you would share a little bit about your heart for hospitality and how that, where that grew, thinking back to Colorado and before, and just what kind of help would you offer or tips would you give to people as they're thinking, okay, I want to try to open my home and invite some people in, whether it's for a meal or to watch worship on Sunday or any of that stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm really grateful, especially now being in my adult life and looking back and seeing how my parents, they really did model hospitality, and they were always really welcoming and enjoyed. I think especially they enjoyed the entertaining side, which that was really interesting, I think, having to kind of learn as I grew the difference between entertaining and hospitality. But they were always really generous with opening up their home. So I'm grateful for that example. But when we moved, well, even before, like when we were doing ministry in Southern California, where we got to meet Robbie and Stacy, and they were some of our first couple friends. I don't know. I just noticed that there is such a deeper connection that comes from gathering around a table. I was doing management for Starbucks back when Jay and I lived in California. And I think just the convergence of this idea of connection when you are sharing something that's so fundamental to life, like whether that's food or, you know, just it releases some of those walls or brings those down, it creates connection. And so that was something that I really, I don't know, I enjoyed. I saw fruit from, I saw a deeper level of vulnerability with people. And so I think that has fueled my heart for it. But I think the process of learning what does it mean to be simple in hospitality and what are the true elements that are important and valuable and not all of the fluffy things that I oftentimes get caught up in, whether that is
a clean bathroom.
Well, I feel like a clean bathroom is still kind of that feels high marks, okay. But just about everything else.
Fair
and
point.
And I know I've really put my family through a lot, having different standards, I think, over the years that nobody else is expecting. And honestly, when I have felt stressed about a lot of those details that don't matter, whether it's clutter on the counters or crumbs on the floor, that actually takes away from the connection. So that has been a process for me, but I see. And also, I think when you go to somebody else's house and you realize that their house looks lived in and they're apologizing and you're so relieved that their house looks what your house looks like on a normal day, and it kind of gives permission. And so, oh man, this is like a random story, but it makes me so sad. I remember early in our years in Colorado, and I was a young mom, and we were still in our jammies in late morning, and clutter was everywhere, toys everywhere. It was a mess. And we had had like a block party or something a couple days before, and I'd really connected with this mom who lived in our neighborhood. And that morning she knocked on my door unexpectedly and asked if we wanted to hang out. And I was so thrown off because I wasn't polished. I, you know, had the bed hair still. The house was a mess. And I actually turned her down. And that, you know, it's been, I don't know, over a decade, and I still feel regret over the lost opportunity there and how that opportunity for a beginning of what could have been a deeper relationship and friendship, I think I missed that door. And I think it's painful to remember those missed chances and those times when I should have been obedient and said yes to God. And I have consequences from that. But at the same time, I'm really grateful that he's given me eyes to see that and not want to lose those opportunities for the present and the future.
It sounds like God's unique way of shaping that heart. You already had that heart, but he revealed, you know, what the implications of that are for you in a powerful way through that. In a way that if someone else had told you or you read in a book would be not the same. Is that experience you just shared?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like oftentimes our best lessons are in our missteps, right? And or at least that's a gift out of the times when we
have. Well, yeah, and I think we've had that clearly in our story of church planting, and it's just failure is a key thread through that of realizing you learn through that, and you learn by trying though, and by doing those things and stepping out in faith, and then sometimes you slip up. I thought about how much simpler things have gotten for us to host over the years, and how those standards have changed. I also think to help people, the idea of spontaneity. I mean, I know that some of our best ministry through hospitality has happened through spontaneous gatherings. And like, people don't have to feel like they have to plan out. This doesn't have to be something that's planned out weeks in advance, that, that, you know, that you can just respond to what's happening in front of you.
For sure. I don't know if other people feel this way, or maybe it is a unique shortcoming in myself, but I feel like the further out I have committed to something, the crummier my attitude becomes about it leading up to it.
That started with our wedding.
Stop it.
Engagement.
Stop it. And so,
oh boy.
While there is good and there's fun in having some of those things on the calendar, I know that the opportunities when you just say yes, that God has brought something across your path, it's so fun, because I feel like the expectations are minimized. And so then it just releases you to not feel like you have to perform or have all of the things together or perfect. You can just be pulling out the half-open bags of potato chips and random bits in the fridge, rather than feeling like you have to have something all curated or...
Yeah,
that's a really good point and very encouraging to hear. I can definitely relate to that feeling. It's almost like the way you just described it, like you have to practice and warm up and get ready for the performance when it's too planned out, rather than just being yourself and letting people in. Could we back up a minute, though? You mentioned entertainment versus hospitality. Is there a quick way of summarizing that, like the difference that you've learned?
I wish that I'd thought about a good soundbite about this before, but if I'm thinking about it on the fly, I think hospitality is focused more on how others are feeling, and maybe entertainment is more about how you are coming across or what you are presenting. And entertainment can be really fun, and it can be a gift and enjoyment. But at the same time, I think hospitality transcends the environment. It transcends the elements. It's more about the connection and making someone feel welcome and wanted and belonging. Yeah, I think that's probably what I would say is the difference.
I think it's a good point to say it's not that entertaining is bad in every context. It's
not
that,
at all.
But they're just different goals. And hospitality is about loving someone. It's about welcoming the stranger. It's about bringing somebody in and making them feel welcome, which is why you can be hospitable at someone else's house. And but in your own home, I think about those differences. It's kind of, this is a weird analogy. I don't know what you think about this, but I think about a movie theater and how the film itself is meant to entertain. So the actors on the screen, they're not thinking hospitality at all. They're just thinking entertainment. They created this thing to entertain. But movie theaters the good ones are designed for hospitality. So they're not actually doing the entertaining. They're just creating the environment where you feel welcome and you're feeling comfortable, and you know, and so obviously we're not a movie theater by any stretch, but making people feel wanted, feel welcomed, and feel wanted, like that you're glad that they're there and that it matters that they're there. That's what I think Lauren's so good at. I've seen in you over the years that you are so good at making people feel like they belong where you are, with you, wherever that is. So
yeah, when we lived in California, there was a family who modeled things really well for us of, you know, they just knew that, or like you knew that their door was open and their pantry was available, and whatever they were doing, they weren't going to necessarily make all of these arrangements of special plans, but they were available and you could just kind of enfold into and were a welcomed part of whatever they were doing. And it was such a a lovely experience to be young and married and in that cared for position. And it was cozy, like a little bird in a nest. And then when our time in California came to an end and I knew that we were moving on, and I was so sad about losing that cozy spot. But at the same time, I knew that, oh, now it's my turn to be able to share that and try to make other people feel that way and, you know, maybe help others be able to share that too. So I don't know. That was impactful to us.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love how the way you're describing hospitality, how it's, you know, so focused on the other and the other becoming basically free and able to just be themselves and at home when they're with other people. Like, that is such a beautiful thing to be able to offer to other people. I mean, really imitating Jesus in that way, right? That you're welcome here and you are you, and we want you to be you. This isn't about acting a certain way. It's about really belonging. And that's beautiful.
That's one of the things, Jeff, that I think people also, you wouldn't, if you don't know Lauren well and haven't been a part of her ministry just over the years, that whole idea of just inviting someone into your rhythms is something that we've learned over the years. So when you're talking about simplicity and spontaneity, I wish I had a third S word for this. This would be amazing. It'd be the beginning of a book. But the idea of just
snacks.
That doesn't have anything to do with this. But I'll see. It's like your least favorite word. Anyway, the idea that you don't have to entertain it. See, entertainment too is about you're doing this thing to try to entertain someone, whereas with hospitality you can be just inviting them into your rhythms.
Yes.
And people, and I know, you know, early on when we were doing this, Lauren would sometimes undervalue, thinking that some of the younger people in our church wouldn't want to hang out with a tired mom with a loud child and, you know, all that chaos, but they so eat that up. And so you don't have to be hospitable. You don't have to figure out what other people want to do. You can just invite them into your rhythms. If you're going to the grocery store, you can take somebody with you. If you're going we invite all kinds of people to our kids' baseball games. Like, I've told many people, hey, you want to hang out, I'm going to be at the ball fields. And I don't have to break away from that to go meet with them. I can just invite them into our rhythms.
Yeah, I think that, you know, no matter how good our native family relationships are, I think we all would crave more mothering or more family connection. And so however we can try and model that or just be experiencing that, I know I would love more mothering. And so I have to assume that other people, and I have a great mom, my mom's wonderful. And yet, like, we all have that space of everyone wants to feel cared for and included. And however I can pass that on now to other people, but
Your mom is wonderful.
She is.
I just want to go on record saying that.
Yeah.
That your mom's wonderful. Especially if she's listening right now.
I know.
She's so wonderful.
It's now on record.
It's on recorded. Record. Let it be said. let it be written. So I'm curious with you, you're talking about the food, and I know Jeff wanted to get around to this, but I'm gonna just go ahead and cut to the chase here. So you mentioned how the family in California, the Hamers, who just kind of opened their home to us and loved us. And you talked about how their fridge was open, and that actually led to your first blog. So people may not know, you have had several forays into blogging and potential of reality television and all this fun stuff. And so do you want to tell them what your first blog was for cooking?
Sure. Yeah, good. Good intentions, good startup always kind of maybe fall through on the end. My first blog was The Open Fridge. Really, it was myopenfridge.blogspot.com.
Blogspot.
And I know, Blogspot. And actually, that's what it is again, because I let the domain myopenfridge.com die a sad death. Yeah, so I had a blog And I realized that the recipes that I post on there have a very wide margin of error, which made them successful. And
but it wasn't just about food. It was about hospitality. The whole point was my open fridge. And so you would tell stories about either the dish or about things about cooking it, usually about our child at the time.
Yeah, just simple acts of hospitality. So there was a blog. What else do you want to know? You were starting to say
I think the people would love to know that you auditioned for, what was the next Food Network star?
Yeah, I did. I did that and got a couple rounds in. And then in Denver, they had live auditions for MasterChef. And I made it all the way through that.
She gave it up for us, Jeff.
That sounds very romantic, but really it was...
Wait, you're saying I'm helping you out here.
I gave it all for love.
No, that's not it. It was a practical decision.
Yeah. Reality TV is not real when you start digging in. And
Sorry that we just destroyed everybody.
Burst popped a bubble. Yeah. And the commitment was going to be really hefty and would have taken a big toll on our family and the timing. And I also didn't want to be screamed at and have things thrown in the trash. But then we moved here and there was another show on the Food Network. Oh, now I don't even remember what it was called.
I don't remember. But you got to look to the end of that one too.
It was down between me and a hurricane victim, and they went with the hurricane victim, as they should have.
Yeah, she lost out to that. But I'm curious, and how has that turned to? So right now we're in this pandemic. People are isolated. They're at home. And then you did something. You saw an opportunity there. That's a leading question.
Okay.
Do you want to share with the nice people?
Sure. I'll share with the nice people.
Is he making something up right now, Lauren?
No.
He's trying to get me to tell about. Right now, obviously, while we have been in all of the sheltering, social media has definitely been a source of connection for people. And I don't remember how it started, except for the fact that I feel like I love seeing a whole random group of ingredients that what can I do and what can I put that together in like a puzzle. And so I had kind of offered that, and then people sort of started to take me up on helping them think through maximizing ingredients and trying to extend their pantries or cooking from their pantries. And so I started a Facebook group called Quarantine Kitchen, and it has been very sweet. There's, I don't know, a big chunk of members at this point who have, you know, shared a recipe that really works for them or asked a question. And I post daily, what did you eat for dinner? And for some reason that would get the most responses, and people really loved getting to hear what other people were having and commenting on that and sharing recipes and making friendships. And I have oftentimes thought that maybe I am a friendship networker, that I love seeing someone and then another person over somewhere else and trying to find a commonality and connect them and spin them out. And this has been a really neat way that I don't know, I've gotten some really cool feedback that people felt like it helped them stay connected. It was a source of encouragement. It was a distraction. Everyone needs to eat. We all have to make dinner, and we all have a wide range of feelings about that depending on the day. So I think it was a bright spot.
And it was so successful, Jeff, that it was featured Canadian radio show.
In Canada?
Stop it. No. Okay. So here's a funny story. On the exact same day.
That's called a tease in the business.
On the exact same day, someone else started a Facebook group called Quarantine Kitchen. I made mine closed just thinking that way there would be a little bit more I don't know, respect or security for the people who joined. The other one was open. Mine now has like 700 members and the other one has like 30,000. But I had a chunk of members request and they were posting on mine saying, oh, I heard a lovely piece on some Canadian radio station and we just had to join. And I realized that there's this other quarantine kitchen that is really the giant quarantine kitchen and getting a lot of news or even more momentum. But I also realized that I love sort of the community aspect that has been forged with a few hundred people and growing slowly rather than just a giant free-for-all. Like, I think I've seen actually real relationships and connections come, which I think, while possible at a much higher volume, it's been sweet.
Wow. Well, that fits well too with what God has taught you about hospitality and what you were sharing earlier, just the mentality of being focused on others and belonging and connection and relationship. That's beautiful. I bet those requests were really polite though, eh?
Of course.
Canada.
And very complimentary. And we have learned more about Canadian cuisine through it too. I don't know, like getting recipes.
Some other dishes.
Yeah, like Nanaimo bars.
Yes.
And there's something that's kind of like a gyro, and now I forget what it's called. It's apparently very popular in like Nova Scotia or.
A gyro?
No, it's called something else.
See what I did there?
Like more Middle Eastern?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Anyway, it's been good.
My kids are going to be so frustrated that I can't think of it.
I know. I'll look it up after.
I'm sorry, kids.
And there's, a few people from Montreal, so we've had
You brought
some
shame
French.
To the maple leaf, Jeff.
I did.
The maple leaf is wilting. So, that's Lauren, cool. is there anything else you want to share as we kind of wrap up about what God is teaching you during this time? Obviously, the whole stay-at-home thing is not as difficult for you with your incredible husband and the joy and entertainment that brings.
Right. Yeah, I mean...
That wasn't very enthusiastic. I don't think anybody believed you.
I think, it's funny, after this whole conversation about being others-focused and how hospitable, and really I feel like some of the biggest lessons out of this time is just God revealing some of my own self-centeredness and how I can be really selfish. And I think, when we are all cooped up like this, there's been a lot of times where not so pretty things have come out, and that's not what you want when you're all together and you want it to be cozy and snuggly time where it's all harmonious. But yet I feel like we've been given the gift of time to be able to deal with that. I have been reading in the Bible over the last, I don't know, kind of a long time, but I've been going through my Bible consecutively. And so during this time of sheltering, I'd actually been in Isaiah and Jeremiah. And I felt like that was really interesting to me about all of the themes in those books about where God's people were finding their security and their God exposing all of these idols and how he was pointing out the futility of them. And obviously it can be pretty easy to look at that and be like, well, of course I wouldn't worship a wooden statue. But I feel like God used this time as he sort of stripped away a lot of the places where I escape or find comfort. And he removed those and really brought me more face to face with some of those places and is exposing them and reminding me that he's where we need to find our hope and our comfort and our security and identity. How's that?
It's fantastic.
It's pretty good. That'll preach.
Yeah. Lauren, was it shawarma?
No. I love shawarma. That's so funny. No.
Is it poutine? Vladimir.
Stop Putin. It.
What is it?
Poutine, depending yeah. on how you.
Vladimir Poutine.
Why is poutine not more popular in Wisconsin?
I don't know.
Wisconsinites like cheese yeah. curds.
Cheese
they
curds
like gravy.
Good.
They
gravy,
like
good.
Yeah, potato, French fries.
French fries
good.
Good.
This feels like a missed opportunity here in Wisconsin.
There's a place I've in. There's one in Eau Claire and one in Appleton called Milwaukee Burger Company, and they have it, and it's fantastic. But I don't know anywhere in Marinette or Peshtigo that have it. There's an idea.
We could make some.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lauren, it's been fantastic to have you on the podcast. Jay is so much more pleasant with you here. Oh, my.
That I don't know.
This is wonderful.
I don't know what that says. Christoph's nodding.
Oh, my gosh.
Am I? Wait. I was more behaved here?
Yes. This has been wonderful.
She just has that effect on me. She has a calming effect on me. When we were early in our ministry, when we were dating, people, when they met her, they would all of a sudden think I was more normal. All of a sudden, anything that they were worried about with me, they were not as worried because they figured that I must be somewhat grounded. I may not, you know. So she definitely has that effect. That
That's
impact.
A gift, Jay.
It is.
Lauren, one question I wanted to ask you that I didn't get to, and I will just quickly. What's your favorite thing that you have prepared food-wise lately? Do you have something that you've really enjoyed?
We've been doing a lot of Vietnamese food because that's kind of hard to come by around here, and it's my favorite. So especially now that it's grilling season, I like to marinate meat, and I don't know. That's I like Vietnamese food. I like grilling, actually.
Sounds so good. I think I've smelled some of Jay's leftover lunches of that, and it has smelled fantastic.
Yeah, the caramel pork was so good. And that was good for last night. Last night was spontaneous hospitality because Jeff Bauer, not Clossy, was over helping me with a couple of things, and he was there around dinner time. And if you're at our house around dinner time, then there is a decent chance that Lauren is going to ask you to stay. This feels like if you give a mouse a cookie. If you help Jay around dinner time, you'll be asked to stay. If you're asked to stay, you will want to. If you want to, then you'll eat a delicious meal. And last night it was Vietnamese noodle bowl, like rice noodle bowl.
And our daughter was pretty much sitting right up in Jeff's mix. Yeah. Like right cozied up next to him.
Well, and wanting to show all the things and how you build the bowl and all the stuff. So
personal space is not our children's forte.
No, social distancing does not work in the Williams household. My children are in our bubble all the time. So that's just the way it goes. That's what, when people say, how did you live in 300 square feet for so long? And I say that our children always exist within 300 square feet of us at all times. There's never, we could be at Disney World and they will be right next to us. So it's a lovely thing. So anyway, well, I think that's it. I think this, I would say this may have been the best podcast. Certainly the best guest. Certainly my favorite guest. So
Jay, who was your favorite guest that we had? That should have been my question.
Yeah, but you didn't jump on that. I was trying to, you know, so I just volunteered it. So okay. I would say that this guest was my favorite so far and could only be eclipsed if my mother-in-law joined the podcast. So that's what I would say.
For the record.
But that's it. So I hope that this has been helpful. I hope that it's encouraged you all to practice hospitality. You do not have to be a great cook. You don't have to have anything together. You just need to be able to make people feel welcome and wanted, and that is hospitality, and that's how our God welcomes us. So so we encourage you all to do that, and we will see you, or actually talk to you, next time.